KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm your co-host, Rusty Cannon. I'm here with the one and only Leah Murray. And Leah, this next segment is going to be interesting. We're going to talk about the circus, also known as the United States Congress.
Yeah.
Right? And unfortunately, and we'll get into this in this segment, with a ridiculous rule that was passed called motion to vacate. And we'll get into that. But there's been a change today with some news breaking out of Washington, D.C. And to help us with that is a roll call reporter, Aiden Quigley, joining us tonight, had a story on this and will fill us all in. Aiden, what's going on back in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Today was a very significant day, I would say, on this front. And, you know, we're all kind of waiting to see what Marjorie Taylor Greene will do. You know, she's been kind of waving around the motion to vacate. And since Republicans have such a slim majority, she didn't really need that many other Republicans, if all Democrats would be on board, to overthrow Mike Johnson. But today, the Democratic House leaders kind of stepped forward and said, we don't want to play this game this time, and, you know, we will back, you know, we will table this motion if you bring it. And it really kind of gives Speaker Johnson a lot of cover.
Yeah, so I'm interested in this because, Aiden, I wanted to tell you, I felt like I've seen this film before and I know the ending. But then all of a sudden, the Democrats have decided they would vote, they announced that they would vote to table her attempt to remove the speaker. What is that about? In your article, you say that Greene is accusing Johnson of doing like this backroom kind of slimy deal. Is that what's happening? All of a sudden, the Democrats are loving Mike Johnson? Or is it more just, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene fatigue? Like, what is happening that makes this film ending look a little different than it did for Kevin McCarthy?
I think there's a handful of factors here. I think a big one is that House Democrats got what they wanted in the past couple months. You know, they got full year appropriations settled, which was a really big question mark. They were able to avoid any government shutdowns and work out a deal that was in line with the debt limit deal from last year. And they were really happy with that outcome versus kind of the major cuts that a lot of Republicans were looking for. And obviously Ukraine aid, that was a huge priority for Democrats. And they were able to pull that off. You know, Speaker Johnson brought that to the floor, that it looked really uncertain for a really long period of time here in Washington, whether there would be any additional Ukraine aid with the House Republicans taking over after the midterms. And they passed a significant bill not that long ago. And I think Democrats were just kind of happier with how things are going. And, you know, as someone who was covering October and all the madness with 3 weeks of speaker's election, I think a lot of House Democrats just didn't want chaos in the House again.
You know, it's interesting you brought up October. Is anyone in D.C. pointing out the hypocrisy of someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene? I think people start to forget that Matt Gaetz and crew sided with Democrats in ousting the speaker back then. And now she's complaining that Mike Johnson is working with Democrats to do certain things. Is anyone pointing out her hypocrisy on this, or is that missed in the conversation?
No, I think there's a lot of people who feel that way, especially among House Republicans who desperately want to avoid another, drawn out fight for a new speaker, and who even knows who it would be this time. You know, all of the main candidates already kind of went through the ringer, in October. But I think that it's pretty clear that there's limited appetite for this. And, you know, the House Republicans want to avoid bar drama. You know, there's only been two who have joined on board with Marjorie Taylor Greene. But again, since there was such a tiny, tiny, tiny Republican majority, that would have been enough if the Democrats had taken their usual stance of, you know, we are going to vote for Hakeem Jeffries. We want him to be the speaker. You know, we're not going to help a Republican speaker stay in power if we don't have to, which was the path they took with McCarthy. But I think, again, the Democrats got what they wanted out of this Congress. And, playing speaker games is not on their to-do list for the spring.
You know, Leah, this is something I'm still so frustrated about. when they did what they did late last year in throwing McCarthy out, it changed absolutely nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning the incentives didn't change, the structure didn't change, and they're literally just spitting into the wind of, you don't control, as far as Republicans, you don't control the Senate, you don't have the White House, and you have a very slim majority in Congress. What in the world does she think this is going to accomplish, right?
Yeah.
And other than making her famous and now being all over screens everywhere, same thing it did for Matt Gaetz at a time, but you got to think that this is going to work in reverse for her. I don't see how it doesn't.
Yeah, Aiden, so what you hear is some frustration, I think, from my friend Rusty here.
If you can't tell.
Yeah, can you tell us what is like the mood of the Republican conference? Are they kind of with Rusty where they're like, for the love of all, right? Like, could you just knock it off? Or, I mean, are they genuinely frustrated with Mike Johnson, but understand kind of this is the best we can get given the structure we're in? Like, where are the Republicans, you know, that didn't make your story? Does that make sense? Like, where is the conference kind of mood on this?
No, I think most Republicans would side with Rusty here and say that, it's just the reality of Washington right now. You know, Democrats have the Senate and the White House, and my main focus is on appropriations and the budget. And we ended up where we always knew we would end up after the debt limit deal was made. You know, we ended up right back there at those numbers. And, both sides said that it was a win for them and they negotiated like normal. But really, the difference, there's no real difference in the end game, I would say, of the appropriations process, which is when Marjorie Taylor Greene started threatening this motion than what we would have had. Of course, there are a lot of Republicans who always want a better deal. They want to cut spending more. But those are the people who are not going to vote for appropriation bills anyway, most of the time, you know, so it's really kind of a minority. When you get to Ukraine aid, it is interesting, definitely more of a split there in the Republican Party. But I don't think there's a desire to overthrow Johnson. And I think it's going to be pretty clear if Marjorie Taylor Greene actually brings this to a vote, which it's looking like she will, but that would be defeated by a huge margin now with Democrats who have really consistently fallen behind Jeffries whenever he's taken a position.
So if this blows over, would there be any momentum to get rid of the motion to vacate?
That is a really good question and something that we will be following. I think that, obviously the speaker, it would benefit him to remove this, but I think the politics of changing the rules would be a little interesting. I think
it'd be World War III for them, but I'm curious if there's momentum, because obviously I've let my feelings be known on this subject pretty clearly, but you can't govern if one member can then, you know, call you into question essentially like that, because the majority of his caucus supports what he's done, and obviously that's gone. You know, Leah, we've all watched that, but one or two being able to hold them hostage, it was a deal they made with McCarthy, and he's still having to live with it. But oh my gosh, you can't get anything done if any one member can come and act like, well, this is the will of the caucus and we're going to tank this whole thing.
I think McCarthy's downfall was kind of inevitable from when he made that deal, you know, to allow one person standard there. You know, it was pretty clear that there's some Republicans who really had never liked him and didn't, you know, were always bound at some point to try to give him the axe. And Democrats had no love lost for him either. So I think that with Mike Johnson, who is more of a, they have less history with him, you know, I think he's done things that they support so far. And, you know, any bill will now have to pass with, you know, both parties supporting it. And that was kind of already the case with the tiny Republican majority. So,
well, thank you.
I don't think we're going to see any major changes. Yeah.
Thank you, Aiden, for joining us. That's Aiden Quigley with Roll Call. He's a reporter with Roll Call. And Leah, next we're going to get deep into that Ukraine bill. I can't wait. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Stick with us on KSL at night.